everyone is an island. We weren't meant to live this life alone. That's why we've been looking at this series about relationships. We've called it Ask the Author because we've wanted to go back to the author of relationships to find out how these things are supposed to work, two people coming together. And for the last 4 weeks, we've particularly focused on marriage. We talked about the principle of oneness, that in marriage we pursue oneness. We've talked about how in marriage we pursue a common purpose. We've talked about how that's a commitment that lasts for a lifetime. And then last week we talked about how we understand our unique roles in marriage. But I want to do a little shift today, and I want to talk to a group of amongst us who's actually become the majority. Just recently, since they've been doing these statistics, for the very first time, single adults in the United States outnumber married adults. Now, it's only 50.2%, but we just tipped the edge there for the very first time. And in fact, 44% of all households are headed by a single adult. 27% of all households are a one-person household. And so we don't want to ignore the reality that so many of us are single. And then how do we understand that in terms of relationships? And here's the reality. This is true in our culture. Single people are oftentimes treated as kind of like second-class citizens. If you're single for very long, or what others might consider too long, then people begin to wonder, what's wrong with you? That's not fair. But that's a reality, or at least the concern that if you're single and you don't have that special someone, you're going to miss out on something really big in your life. And it even shows up in commercials, a brand new commercial. I don't know if you saw it. It's the Enterprise car rental commercial, right? Some of you have seen it. If you watched NCAA, you couldn't miss it. And so it's a great little story. As you know, Enterprise's tagline is, "We'll pick you up." So this gal who's single figures out, this is my way out. See, she's going to go to a family event. And if she knows that at the family event, and it's exactly what happens, she gets hammered, especially by mom, you need to get married, you need to have kids, da-da-da-da, you know, and she just gets, you know, everybody just jumps all over. So she calls Enterprise. She goes to the family event, and this dashing young man comes to pick her up. And she says, "This is my boyfriend," you know, that to get mom and everybody else off her back. And there's this sense in culture that if you're single, you're not whole, you're incomplete, you're missing something huge. And I'm afraid that the church has contributed to this idea that being single is somehow less than. Maybe because we don't talk enough about it, or maybe because we've talked so much about marriage, it's created that dynamic. But here's the reality. The Bible has a very different view about singleness. I mean, think about it. Most of the prophets were single. John the Baptist was single. The Apostle Paul was single. Jesus was single. And we could list a whole bunch of other folks along with those folks who were single. And there's a whole chapter in the Bible that's devoted to this concept of singleness, which we're going to look at in a little bit. And so, you know, in this culture, there's this sense of this pressure to marry, and there's this question about being single. But here's the real question. The real question is not about if I'm single or married. The real question, I think that question misses the point. Am I single or am I married? That's not the core issue. Here's the main point that I want us to focus on today, is that regardless of our marital status, married or single, regardless of our marital status, our focus is to seek first the kingdom of God. Regardless of whether we're married or single. It's not about our marital status. It's about God. It's about His role in our life, His influence in our life. That's what really ultimately matters. I want to say this again, particularly to those who are single amongst us, because the married folks already know this. Marriage doesn't solve problems. Hear the laughter? It reveals problems. It's in marriage that you discover what's all the quirky things about yourself and humanity and all of that. And a marriage alone won't make anyone happy. Alone, it won't make anyone happy. And being single doesn't mean that you are really alone. Alone is a choice. It's not tied to your status of not being married. And we're not destined, if we're single, to be lonely unless we choose to put ourselves in that place. God affirms and blesses marriage and singleness. God affirms and blesses marriage and singleness. And so the point isn't what our Facebook status is. The point isn't which box we check when we're filling out our taxes, married or single. It's really comes down to this. There's something far more deeper than our status, something far more powerful and profound. And it's this. This thing, there's something that greater than our marital status will transform who we are. It'll transform us wherever we are. It'll transform us no matter whomever we're with. It has this power, and that's when we focus on God and His influence in our life. That is the power to change our lives, to bring us contentment, satisfaction, to remove loneliness, to bring meaning and purpose, regardless of whether we're married or whether we're single. And we see this. Let's start with Jesus. Take your Bibles. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, this is on page 679 in the Bibles that are in the seats in front of you. Matthew chapter 6, this is a conclusion to this whole chapter. Jesus says this, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these other things will be given to you as well." The focus isn't on whether we're single or married. The focus is on seeking first God and His kingdom. Now, kingdom is a word that we don't use a lot, but think about a king over a kingdom. The king has influence over that whole kingdom. The king rules that kingdom. And what Jesus is saying is if we'll seek first God, the righteous one, and we'll seek His influence in our life, that we invite Him to rule our life, that takes care of everything else. You see, this comes at the end of a chapter where Jesus is talking about all the things that we're anxious about. Our income, money, clothes, all this stuff. He could have easily included relationships. We get anxious about all these things. And Jesus says, look, if you will put your focus on Me, letting Me influence your life, these other things will actually settle out really well. You'll find contentment. You'll find satisfaction. Fear will be released as you focus on Me and My influence in your life. You see, we've had a tendency in our culture and in the church to think that marriage is the end, the be-all, but marriage is not the cure-all. And marriage is not to become our idol. Now think about what an idol is. Think back to the Old Testament when the people of Israel were tempted by idols. Idols are something, not God, that make false promises. See, the idols of the Old Testament, like Baal. The reason why they were tempted to worship Baal was there was a false promise that if you honored Baal, that the rain would come, your crops would grow, your animals would reproduce, and you'd be wealthy. And so people would worship this thing based on false promise. But here's the deal. Idols always disappoint. And marriage is never meant to be an idol that we put all of our hope in. I want you to think about something. Jesus said that in heaven, there will be no marriage. Ever wonder why? Because heaven will be perfect. I'm just saying. It's not the idol we worship. Don't misunderstand. It's good. It's important. But it's not our idol. It is not the source of our satisfaction and contentment. That's why Jesus says, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. Then all this other stuff begins to settle out. Life does not start in marriage. It starts when we make the decision to follow Jesus with all of our heart. That's when life begins. Life at its best has nothing to do with our marital status. Life at its best has everything to do with the fact that we really are seeking God and his influence in our life. Now, I know we've been talking about marriage for a number of weeks. So what I want to do now, because I think this is so important for all of us, is that just for the next few minutes, I want us to shift our focus specifically to singleness and what the Bible teaches about it. So again, I want you to take your Bibles and turn to the 7th chapter of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. This is on page 796 in the Bibles in front of you. And as you're turning there, what this chapter is about is that Paul's answering some questions that the church in Corinth wrote him. And so his first part is about the sexual relationship between a husband and wife, and he spends 6 verses on that. And the rest of the chapter, he goes this whole other direction. And look at verse 7, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 7. I wish that all of you were as I am. Paul was single. He says, I wish that all of you could experience what I experience, singleness, but each of you has your own gift from God. One has this gift. One has the gift of singleness, like I do. Another has that gift, the gift of marriage. He says, look, some of us have the gift of singleness. Some of us have the gift of marriage. We fall into one of those categories. But I wish that you could be like me. Now, I want us to think about this idea of gift, particularly singleness as a gift. When Paul first wrote this, he wrote it in a language called Greek. And the word gift that he originally wrote in is translated gift. That's absolutely appropriate. It's also translated grace. Now think about grace. Think about God's grace. Think about singleness as grace. When we receive this gift from God, when that gift that God gives us, he's saying to us, wherever you're at right now, I'm good with you. You're cool. So when we receive God's grace, salvation, he's saying, look, you don't have to be perfect. I'm good with you. That doesn't mean we can't be better. We can't be more like Jesus, but I am good with you. And what Paul's saying is the same here, that this gift of singleness that God gives us, God's saying, I'm good with you being single. And then further, whenever God gives grace, he comes alongside us to help us, to be the people he wants us to be, to do what he asks us to do. That's true as we follow Jesus. His grace is, I'm here to help you do that. And as the gift of singleness is the same thing. I'm here to help you do really well being single. And Paul says, this is a gift. It's a gift that should be valued and cherished. It's really important. And this gift of singleness is God giving us the ability, those of us who have the gift, to be able to forego marriage. And we're able to forego marriage because part of this gift is that we don't have these overwhelming, powerful, consuming sexual desires, that God gives us the ability to be able to focus on other things and not those, and be able to be single in a way that's really good. That doesn't mean the single life doesn't have any challenges. Of course, every human being has challenges. They're just different depending on our circumstance and situation. There's another thing about that word gift. It can be translated gift, or grace, or blessing. All of those ways are legitimate ways to translate that word. Think about it. God gives a gift that's a blessing. If we have that gift, we are blessed by God in order to be a blessing to others. Because now we have time and energy to be able to be a blessing to others. And we'll see that played out a little more in just a minute. Now, I want you to go down to verse 24. I encourage you to read the whole chapter. We won't have time to look at every single verse here, but the whole chapter is incredible. But go to verse 24, and what we find there is the overriding principle of everything in this chapter. This is kind of where everything hangs on this idea. Chapter 7, verse 24. Brothers and sisters, each person, as responsible to God, should remain in the situation they were in when God called them. This was a new church. I mean, Christianity was new, and people were coming to faith. And as they were coming to faith, Paul says, look, when you come to Jesus, don't be looking to go, you know, if you're single to be married or if you're married to be single. Focus on your relationship with Jesus. Don't look to change your status either way. Now, that might happen later, and that might be blessed by God later. But right now, your focus is to focus on Jesus and his influence in your life before you make a change. Imagine how different our relationships would be if we would make that our focus before we moved into a different level, from married to being single or single to being married. If our focus first is on Jesus, that changes everything. And what Paul's saying is that the status that we seek isn't going to provide us with satisfaction and contentment. It's Jesus himself. No matter what the status. And we need to learn to be content where we are first with God before we change and assume that that's going to follow with us. And so he just warns us to not be chasing and striving after a status as if that's how somehow going to make things okay. Now this idea that singleness is a gift, we respond to that differently. Some of us want that gift of singleness, but we don't have it. You know, there's a lot of advantage to being single, but we just don't have that gift from God. And so we struggle with sexual desires. And I want you to know what Paul says in verse 9. He says, it's better to marry than to burn. And what he means by burn there is he means this passion, this sexual desire that's a passion that just doesn't go away. And he's saying, if you have such a strong sexual desire, then get married. It's okay. It's really absolutely fine. But even then, remember, the focus is to seek God first, not the status. And then some of us have the gift of singleness, but we don't really want it for different reasons. Again, we hear the cultural values that somehow insinuate that being single is less than, that there's something wrong with us, that we're different. Or maybe we don't want that gift of singleness because we want to have kids of our own. Or maybe we don't want the gift of singleness because we're afraid that that will doom us to being alone and therefore lonely. And again, I think Paul's point is applicable here as well. If we sense that God has given us the gift of singleness, then our first focus, even with those things being a reality, children and being alone and all of those factors, our first focus is on God. We say, God, given my concerns here, speak into my life, guide me, help me to work through this first before we choose to change our status. And then there's the reality that sometimes we have the gift of singleness for a season. Sometimes people will have the gift of singleness early in their life, and then that will change later. Or sometimes people go through being a widow or divorced, and then afterwards discover that God has given them this precious gift of singleness, and they don't need to get married like they maybe had felt at a different time in their life. So it can be there for a season. But no matter what, our focus is still the same. God, I want you to be the center of my life and to influence who I'm with, how I live, period. Now, let's just jump down to verse 32. Again, I encourage you to read the whole chapter of 1 Corinthians 7. Look what Paul says next. I would like you to be free from concern. An unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs, how he can please the Lord. But a married man is concerned about the affairs of this world, how he can please his wife, and his interests are divided. An unmarried woman or virgin is concerned about the Lord's affair. Her aim, I love this verse, her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit. But a married woman is concerned about the affairs of this world, how she can please her husband. I'm saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you may live in a right way in undivided devotion to the Lord. What Paul is saying here, and this is really the heart and the blessing of the gift of singleness. He's saying, look, if God has called you to be single, then you can give all your focus and attention and time and energies and resources to the things of God because you don't have to give attention to your family. Now, if you're married, you have to do that, and you've got to care for your family and be concerned about what God wants, and you have to manage both, and that's a little more challenging. He's just saying, I want you to be free from that concern if you can. Because you can devote yourself fully and completely to the things of the Lord. In other words, what Paul's saying is it's easier to be single than to be married. So if you can do it, that's a great gift from God. I want to give you an example of a person I think models this so well. Her name is Katie Davis. She's 22 years old. She's written a book, Kisses from Katie. Katie is single. Not only is Katie single, 22 years old, but she is a single parent of 13 girls that she adopted. She lives in Uganda now, and I want you to hear what she says about herself. Katie said, people tell me that I am brave. People tell me that I'm strong. People tell me, good job. Well, here's the truth of it. I'm really not that brave. I'm really not that strong. And I'm not doing anything spectacular. I'm just doing what God called me to do as a follower of Him. See, it doesn't matter about our status. That's not the focus. It's about putting first the kingdom of God. And that's exactly what she did. So Katie, at age 19, left her upper middle class safe home in the United States and moved to Uganda to start a nonprofit ministry at 19 years old. And this nonprofit ministry in Uganda now is serving over 1,600 kids and families. They provide food and clothing and training and jobs. They do this. They're seeing a whole village being transformed. And not only is that village being transformed, but that whole region now is experiencing transformation because of this ministry that Katie began. She started at 19 years old. And in addition to all that, she adopted 13 Ugandan girls. Katie said, I only knew one person in Uganda. I didn't know the language. I just knew I had a passion to make a difference somewhere. And I ended up entering motherhood through a different door. By seeking first God and His kingdom, Katie, as a single person, experienced motherhood through a very different door, different avenue. And she's such a perfect example of what the Apostle Paul is writing about. In fact, remember when we read in verse 34? Her aim, Paul said, is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit. Katie didn't seek marriage. She didn't even seek singleness. She sought the will of God. She was determined to listen to God and do what God wanted her to do. And it wasn't about her marital status at all. She wasn't held back from being a mom because she was single. She was not a second-class citizen in the kingdom of God. In fact, she's a first-class citizen as a single person. And she was fully devoted to making a difference where God had placed her. And it's not just going to a faraway place like Uganda. It can happen right here where we are. We don't have to go far. We have single people who adopt and foster kids right here in our community. There is no reason why the state of Arizona should ever have a list of kids waiting to be adopted or fostered, because we have married and single people here who can do that. And the church ought to lead the way, the people of God. The gift of singleness allows you to do so many incredible things. I want to tell you a personal story from our own family. We spent 10 years in Cincinnati, and that was my sojourn into the desert. Now I'm back home. While we were in Cincinnati, our kids were young. We just moved there. We didn't hardly know anybody. And there was a single gal in our church. Her name was Judy. Judy became a part of our family. In fact, our kids sometimes called her Aunt Judy. Judy just loved on our kids. Judy was this kind of person that was the funniest, most enjoyable person to be around. And our kids just loved Judy. Years later, after we'd gone to Ukraine, come back, we were in Tucson. Judy, because of some medical conditions, had to have a leg amputated. It didn't go well. We were told that she probably just had days to live. And our daughter, Wendy, said, "I have to go say goodbye to Judy. She'd meant so much to her." And folks, we want people to be in our kids' lives like that. Other adults who can just say things that our kids may not even listen to, you know, from their parents. And Judy was that kind of person. And she didn't just do that for us. Even after she had her leg removed, she would actually even travel overseas just to minister to families and love on people. And she was so good at that because she had the ability, time and focus and energy to do that. Or right here. Every weekend, we serve over 500 kids through our church. And those of us who have the gift of singleness can devote extra time and energy to loving on those kids. Some of those kids are going through incredible difficulties at home or school. Or I think about our student groups. We have small groups in our student ministry. Middle school, high school, middle school girls, middle school boys, high school girls, high school boys. What a powerful way to be able to invest in those kids. As my son grew up here at this church, he had a youth coach that was with him through all of that. And they not only did stuff here at church and in small group, but they would go camping and hiking and just invested in him in a very significant, powerful way. There's lots of ways that we can be devoted to the Lord and making a difference. We've just looked at two people, Katie and Judy. And if you're thinking about maybe that God is nudging you to be more invested that way, I want to encourage you to go to Next Step. Next Step, the folks there know about all the opportunities and can help match those opportunities to the passion that God has given you. Take that next step and go to Next Step. I want to end with some time of reflection. I want to ask two questions. And the first question is to those among us who are single, not married. I want you to ask this question sincerely of God. The question is this: Do I have the gift of singleness? See, because we don't talk about this in the church, and the culture certainly doesn't talk about it, I don't think we ask that question nearly enough. Sincerely going to God and saying, God, do I have this gift of singleness? And the answer may be no. But it might be yes if we'll sincerely ask it. Ask that question to some of our trusted friends that can help give us feedback. Ask that question as you read and reread 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Let God speak to you through his word. But sincerely ask the question, God, do I have this gift of singleness? And then to all of us, married and single, is the second question. Am I seeking first the kingdom of God? Am I seeking God and his kingdom first? We seek all kinds of things. We all do. We seek happiness. We seek peace, contentment, satisfaction, companionship, sex. We seek for all kinds of things, affirmation. The question is, what do we seek first? All those things I mentioned are fine, they're good. But what are we seeking first? I want you to wrestle with that. Because as we seek God and his kingdom first in our lives, that begins to address and settle everything else that's a part of us and around us and in us. That's the key to life at its best. That's the key to life now and life that will never, ever end. Let's pray. Father God, we confess to you that there are all kinds of things that we seek. Sometimes we seek those things like companionship and happiness through relationships. Sometimes we seek those same things by avoiding relationships. God, we're so dispersed and distracted by so many needs and so many ways to accomplish that. God, I'm asking your Holy Spirit to right now just convict each and every one of us that we've got to seek you first. Regardless of whether we're married or single, regardless of whether we have a lot or have nothing, regardless of whether things are working smoothly or not, God, help us to seek you and to hear you and to find you and to discover you and to allow you to primarily influence us. In Jesus' name, amen.